everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thanks for joining me today for another fantastic conversation. If you have been listening for a while, you know that this show is really dedicated to empowering people with truthful information so they can make the most informed decisions possible regarding their health and well-being. And if you are listening for the first time, I want to welcome you to the show. I hope you'll be coming back every week. And if you have not heard of the show or this topic, I want to be sure to let you know that if you go to my Facebook page, What Women Must Know, or even to my website, which is also whatwomenmustknow.com, then these shows get sent out every week to you, so you will be sure to get every single episode. Of course, you can always go on to the archives on prn.fm and head up to shows and then scroll down, and all the archives are there for all the shows, including mine. But if you want it just sent to you, all you have to do is go to What Women Must Know, either a Facebook page like me there or on my website, and you'll get it personally delivered to you, as well as I have lots of wonderful articles that I send out to people who opt into my newsletter, and also posting great things on my Facebook page just to keep you alert to what's going on. So hope you'll join me there. Now, today we're going to be talking about solutions to a really huge problem that's affecting men and women in the United States. It goes far beyond the United States. It's happening all over the world. And that is the issue of getting deep, restful sleep. So because sleep and rest is so important and yet such a rare commodity in our culture today, we have my guest today, Karen Brody, who is the author of Daring to Rest, a 40-day program for women, but I would say men would be included, about reclaiming your power with yoga nidra, rest meditation. So if you don't know anything about what yoga nidra is, you are about to learn and get some really effective and much-needed solutions and tips and strategies to help you get into deep, restful sleep. So let me just share a little bit about my guest. She is the author of this new book, as I said, Daring to Rest, and Karen Brody is a woman's well-being and leadership expert. She's also the founder of Daring to Rest, a yoga nidra-based self-empowerment program for women. She is a certified yoga nidra instructor, and she's a contributor to HuffPost, and her critically acclaimed play, Birth, has been produced in 6 continents and translated into 3 languages. So it's my pleasure to welcome Karen Brody to the show today. Hello, Karen.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining me, and congratulations on your book, Daring to Rest, and also on the fact that you're a playwright. So I'm always in awe of playwrights. So congratulations on all fronts.
Thanks.
You know, so, you know, I think we should really start talking about the problem at hand. So before we explain what yoga nidra is for people who haven't been introduced to it, let's talk about the issue of insomnia and this intense, just treadmill that everyone is on that keeps them so stimulated and stressed out and high cortisol levels all the time. So can you share with us a bit of what, from your research, you have discovered?
Yeah, well, you know, in many ways for all of us, you know, we know these things, which is we're not sleeping, and many of us are not sleeping because of electronics, because of just the way work is now 24/7. We come home, we have to answer emails. Our children's schools are contacting us through email. Our children are texting us. There's a complete overload of our system where we're going, and it has become almost a lost art to do nothing, to wind down. And to power down. And so the more our culture just demands more of us, the more we find it harder and harder to get a good night's sleep, and also just, you know, in general, just to have a quality of life where we can actually balance all the doing with some being, some non-doing. It's just hard out there these days. It's a tough situation, and I think that in general we get into these spiraling tailspins where, you know, the sleep, does this depression come first? Does this lack of sleep come first? You know, we don't even know anymore. But we do know that studies have shown us this correlation now between depression and sleep. And many times, if we're not sleeping well, if we're not going into deep sleep, many times that in and of itself can promote feelings of depression, mood fluctuations, all of that. And that is ruining our quality of life. So we're in a tough situation where people are just feeling worn out. There's a lot of worn out people.
You know, sleep studies are revealing so much so. And just on the subject of sleep, which I'm really fascinated by, and I'm really blessed because I am able to get a really good solid 8 hours sleep a night. And there was a time when I wasn't able to do that, when I was waking up, you know, 3 or 4 a.m. and up for a couple of hours. And especially when I was going through hormonal changes, I was getting night sweats at midnight and then waking up with that and then finally getting to bed. And then 4 to 6 a.m., I was waking up with these anxiety attacks. And so I've known what it's like not to be able to sleep. And we really have an epidemic of insomnia. And the research just astounds me how, you know, when you sleep, you actually detoxify your brain from the toxic metabolic products. So it helps your brain to stay healthy. Without it, you can be killing brain cells and impairing your cognitive functioning. Your ability to lose weight depends on sleep. If you're
Absolutely.
Not sleeping, you tend to crave carbs and the mood the moods that get altered, depression, anxiety. There's so much that's tied in with a good night's sleep, which, you know, is one issue. But the other issue is about the ability to rest, to have permission to just do nothing, which isn't a nothing state, right? In our culture, it's not valued to really take time. You know, I was just listening to an interview, a podcast today, and on it there was a story of this man who met his teacher, a Native American, and when he met his teacher, the instructions were, his homework assignment, you might say, was to sit by a tree every day and listen to what that tree had to say to him. And, you know, that was such a paradigm shift for him, being a psychologist, you know, PhD psychologist, very intellectual, to just sit by a tree, not seemingly doing anything, and being open to listening to what the tree had to say, which obviously was a really bizarre behavior for him. And it took him some time before he actually was able to listen and hear what the tree was saying to him. And I think that exemplifies the dilemma we're in with a culture that does not value time out.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We see that as almost a weakness when we slow down. We certainly don't know how to do it anymore. It's quite frightening to get quiet. It's quite frightening to go to sleep at night because we have to close our eyes and we have to actually go into darkness. And, you know, we've demonized the dark. We've demonized, you know, black is not good, white is better, you know, sunshine. When the moon comes out, scary things happen. You know, all of this, that stuff. We've played with dark and light so much that people are afraid of the dark. And, you know, the shadow is in the dark. You know, when we close our eyes and power down, all the junk from the trunk comes forward, or can potentially come forward. So, you know, when you get quiet, when you sit by a tree, you're going to hear some deep truths.
Yeah. So, it's just interesting conversation I was listening to today, and then we're having our conversation today. So, tell us what yoga nidra is.
So, So yoga nidra is nothing like an asana yoga. People think of the bendy, stretchy yoga classes where you're going into warrior and all these other downward dogs. If you've ever done yoga before, it's not that kind of yoga. If you have done yoga before, you'll be familiar with shavasana at the end of yoga, which is literally what they call corpse pose. You're lying down, doing nothing, and actually it's usually at the end of the yoga practice because it's integrating all of the movement. After the practice, you rest. It's just like our nervous systems. After we're active, we need to rest and digest and light up the parasympathetic branch of the nervous system. So, you know, yoga nidra is a sleep-based meditation technique where you're lying down or leaning back. I do it in an airplane. You know, you can be sitting. It is really, instead of like in a very conventional, typical meditation, you stay in your waking state, in your beta brain. You are usually maybe following your breath or a mantra. Instead, in yoga nidra meditation, you are guided through in meditation with eyes closed to from the waking state into the dream state, then into deep sleep, and then to a fourth state of consciousness, which is something you can't get to in conventional sleep, but you are guided to a place that is a fourth state of consciousness where you are thoughtless, essentially. And it's the zero stress zone, as Yogi Amartya likes to call it. It's basically a place where you are completely, deeply relaxed. And your whole body can reboot, can completely reboot from this place. It's like the organs can regenerate. They can heal. Your subconscious mind is very open, and it's open to setting intentions and really not having all of your emotional baggage in the way, your self-talk that tells you, I'm not worthy. Instead, I am worthy makes a whole lot of sense because you don't have anything getting in your way, thoughts and all of these other beliefs that you've been programmed throughout your life with that tell you otherwise, and you can really accept the best of yourself and wake up into your best self and feel so deeply rested because all of your organs have gotten the rejuvenation they've needed, the deep rest, and beyond to this fourth state of consciousness where it's almost like when people are in comas, their body recovers because everything powers down. Well, yoga nidra takes you to that state every time you practice, so you're literally powering down to zero, and then you come back into your outer world refreshed, rejuvenated, and many times feeling healed, or even, you know, I feel on a deeper level just empowered to be the true you. So it's very powerful.
So it's really not sleep. You're not going into your sleep state. You're going into a place of deep and profound relaxation. Is that correct?
So, no, it actually is sleep. So you are going to sleep, and then you're going. So sleep is these three stages, right? There's the waking, you're in your waking state, but you go into the dream state. You go, down deeper, you go into delta, theta brain waves. So that's exactly where you go when you go to sleep. And then you go even further. You go to a place that's known as Turiya. It's a fourth state of consciousness that you can't get to in sleep, but you can get to all the other ones. If you're a good sleeper, that's why people feel great after they've had a great night's sleep. If they go into deep sleep, they feel fantastic. But many of us aren't going into deep sleep because our minds are going all the time. So we're not even getting very deep into the dream state. And that's a problem as well, actually, dream deprivation. I'm not an expert on it or anything like that, but there's a lot of discussion. There was just an article in Time magazine about dream deprivation, when we're not dreaming enough. So all of this, you pass through all of it in yoga nidra. You're guided through actually going to sleep, but consciously. So we invite people through a guided meditation to stay awake and alert. Most people are just deeply relaxed. They're in a deeply relaxed state. They follow the voice that's guiding them. and the voice takes them into deep sleep and then beyond. So deep sleep is something you can do on your own, but most people have a hard time doing it. This is why people who have insomnia love yoga nidra meditation, because they can get into deep sleep, which they really have a hard time doing. They can get there by being guided. And most meditation won't take you into these deep sleep brainwaves. So you stay in your beta brain, in your waking state. So it is sleep, but it's sleep is unconscious. You go to sleep, you're not awake or aware, you just go to sleep. In yoga nidra, you're invited to stay awake and aware, and by having that level of consciousness, your subconscious mind stays open to healing. It stays open to even further, like I mentioned, intentions or affirmations. And we often in the meditation will invite you to repeat, well, we always invite people to repeat their intention. And that is heard on a very deep level when you're in yoga nidra.
So just
I know it's all new.
Yeah, so just help me make some distinctions here. So when you do yoga nidra, you're being guided. There's some guided meditations that gets you into a deep, relaxed state, which then can allow you to enter into a sleep state. But the meditations, the guided meditations that you're listening to, are talking to another part of you, we call it your unconscious, whatever, that's guiding you further into this other state. Is that what's happening?
Well, the person leading the yoga nidra is guiding you into that state. I mean, yogis have perfected this map of yoga nidra, you know, the guided meditations, and yogis have found that you enter a fourth state of consciousness in yoga nidra, and so you literally they've measured people's brain waves and they've measured their thoughts per second, and there's zero thoughts going on in this state, and you don't have that in conventional sleep.
Wow, sounds pretty luscious to me.
It's a complete powering down, you know, which is what many of us just, you know, walk around thinking, I just want a nap. I want a really good nap, like a superpower nap. That's it. That's what yoga nidra is. It's really, you know, as exciting as it is to know about these fourth stages of sleep, you know, the three stages into deep sleep and then the actual turiya, the fourth state of consciousness, I didn't know that for the longest time. I just laid down, listened to a guided voice and did nothing. And you feel terrific. It feels like almost like a facelift, honestly, like all the bags under your eyes are gone. You know, when you're practicing it regularly, it really is very deeply rejuvenating. And it's been fun to talk about my book and yoga nidra, but as many people know who practice yoga nidra, there's almost no words to describe it. You almost just have to experience it. But it is lying down. You know, it looks just like a nap. It feels like a really deep nap. And you follow a guided voice that guides you into deep sleep and beyond.
So is it mostly practiced through being guided, whether it's guided meditation that you listen to, through an audio or in an environment where someone is guiding you?
Yeah, so definitely in the beginning. I would say if you're practicing yoga nidra meditation regularly, often you can put yourself in that state. I mean, yogis put themselves in that state all the time, in a state of yoga nidra, which is that fourth state of consciousness. But really, it's virtually 90% of the time, 95% of the time, people are listening to a guided voice to go into yoga nidra. It isn't a silent meditation, which there is silent meditation, and that's beautiful too. I've done that for many years as well. But yoga nidra, I always call it meditation with a cherry on top. I mean, who doesn't want to be guided into sleep and lay down? All of that just seemed incredible to me, to have that permission to lay down.
So, Karen, how would that differ from sleep meditations, you know, guided meditations for sleep? I see lots of them available on YouTube and on different apps. How does Yoga Nidra compare to those kinds of experiences?
Well, I can't compare, I don't know everyone that's out there on the market, but what I would say is typically if it's a guided meditation and they may be, meditation in general is going to relax the body and make it easier for you to fall asleep, full stop. So meditation, is wonderful for sleep. It doesn't matter whether it's Yoga Nidra or just any meditation. It's going to relax your nervous system and promote sleep. So it could be that those are the sleep meditations out there. I don't know all of them out there. I've actually never done a meditation for sleep. But I will say that typically, unless they're following the protocol for Yoga Nidra, they're not taking you to this deep sleep and beyond state of Turiya, where you're going into, absolute thoughtless state, this zero stress zone. They're not taking you there.
Wow, it sounds so interesting. How did you get involved with this path?
Well, I was I had a history of panic attacks, and I had particularly bad panic attacks when my children were young, and I was walking through the supermarket aisle, and everything started spinning. I thought I was dying. I went to the emergency room, and after lots and lots of tests, they basically told me it was a panic attack. And I decided, actually, I was quite a holistic mama, but in order to survive, because I had a lot to do on my to-do plate, being a mom with two kids and working and everything else, I decided to go on anti-anxiety drugs, which I thought would be for 6 months. It was 3 years later. And 3 years later, I wasn't thinking of getting off the anti-anxiety medication, actually, but I walked into a yoga studio thinking I'd take a power yoga class, and instead I saw 25 women lying down looking completely blissed out like they were taking the best nap of their lives, and I thought, forget the power yoga, I'm going to take a nap. And I thought it was kind of a bit of a joke, but my body just said yes when I saw these women with blankets on top of them and eye pillows, and it looked like the best spa I'd ever seen. And I signed up for the class, and I just within a year was off the anti-anxiety medication. I felt better than I'd ever felt, more rested, and my children were still very young. But I couldn't believe how much the fatigue had lifted, how much it helped me break that cycle of fatigue that I really felt I was never going to get out of. So I became a Yoga Nidra meditation cheerleader after that for myself, and then I decided I wanted to help spread it to others.
So you went on and studied with someone?
So I got trained. Actually, at first, I practiced for several years, and then I stopped practicing actually at a time when, and I share this story in the book, how my family, we had moved to Africa for my husband's work, and we experienced a very violent robbery, and my son and I actually had PTSD for several years. And things were going just horribly after the robbery in our lives. We lost everything. We moved back to the United States, and suddenly my older son, he was having lots of learning issues, and we were suing the school district to get his education paid for. And it was just, it felt like life was a real big mess and very stressful. And so I literally wanted to, what I call, eat, pray, love it from my life. Like, I wanted to get out of my life. And I, one day, I just jumped in my minivan and I said, okay. And my husband came home, handed him the kids. And I just drove, and I drove to the edge of our neighborhood, sat near a park that was there. There was actually a raging thunderstorm at the time, and I was completely, I just was sobbing and sobbing, and I didn't want to think about anything except leaving my life, leaving my situation. It was too overwhelming. And then I remembered, after my complete breakdown, I remembered this tool that I had learned and loved when my children were much younger, and Yoga Nidra. And I said, my God, and I was so exhausted in that minivan, and I said, okay, that's it. Why am I not practicing Yoga Nidra? Why? And so I said, that's it. I'm going to commit to practicing every single day for 1 year. And that's it. No excuses. Because I know how good it made me feel when I was practicing it when my kids were younger. And I got off the anti-anxiety pills. So why was I not practicing it? Anyway, I went home and I made that my absolute non-negotiable, that mommy was taking a nap every day, and it was her Yoga Nidra nap. And I laid down and I practiced, and I set myself a goal of 1 year. Well, I made it 40 days. I made it 40 days every single day, and the effect on my life was absolutely transformational. I mean, our lawyer, we were suing the school district, our lawyer looked at me. She thought I had had a facelift. I mean, she literally said, you know, what have you been doing? You're focused. You look fabulous. My skin had been a disaster, and it was completely clear. So many health issues were resolving or resolved, and that was from 40 days. And so I got really curious, and I just said, I want to share this with other women. And then I decided to get trained. I got trained in the IRS method of Yoga Nidra first. I'm trained in level 1 and level 2 now. And then I got certified in the I Am Amrit method of Yoga Nidra. That was also quite life-changing. And I began to lead women through these 40-day Yoga Nidra meditation experiences. Initially, it was called, I focused on moms initially, and initially it was called Nap Quest for Moms, because I see Yoga Nidra as this napping and vision quest. It's like a combination of the two. So I called it Nap Quest for Moms. And I'll tell you, all the women who came, it was so transformational. Again, 40 days Yoga Nidra meditation, committing to a time to be good to themselves. People had all different experiences. I mean, from really just feeling deeply well-rested and more energetic to sleeping better, but also to, honestly, leaving their husbands who they were, you know, the marriage had been done years before and was exhausting to be in, and it was just time to leave, and they got the courage to leave. I mean, it ranges, right? It really ranges to leaving the job and getting a job that was more in alignment with what they want to be doing in the world. I mean, it was incredible, and I just wanted to keep spreading this Yoga Nidra magic to every person I met, and that's what I then committed to doing.
Well, that sounds pretty inspirational, Karen, and you know, it just reminds you that if you go back and connect to a place of deep quietness inside oneself, or it's obviously deeper because of what you were saying, into the fourth state, we can access a place of connectedness again to ourselves, where we find the answers, or the healing happens, and the transformation occurs, which is really what we're here to experience and achieve.
Yeah, I mean, I say this in the book, and I tell the story about the robbery that we experienced. I actually tell it in a chapter that's called The Bliss Body, which you would think being robbed violently is nothing bliss. There's nothing bliss related about anything that's trauma related. But to actually, one of the beautiful things in Yoga Nidra is that there comes this moment where you enter what they call the bliss body, and from there you go into this state of just knowing everything's going to be okay. feeling like no matter what has happened in your life, it's going to be okay. You get this whisper, this deep soul whisper, it's going to be okay. And it's hard to access that in our outer world when we're so busy. It's hard to hear it. It's easier to go to fear, to go to anger, to go to whatever it is, because there's so many, you know, emotions we could go to that lower our vibration. But in yoga nidra meditation, in the bliss body, we come to a place, some people feel deep joy or even bliss, but really there's this almost shower over you that everything's going to be okay. And for someone who's experienced trauma, that's transformational, the moment you can tap into just that seed that it's going to be okay.
Can you share some stories of from your students, what's happened with, you know, in your experience of doing these programs with people?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a woman in the book who I share her story about just how her relationship with her body had really fallen apart, and she was experiencing extreme panic attacks after she had given birth, and she had quite a traumatic birth experience. And, you know, really she lost confidence in her body. She was angry at her body. She wouldn't have put that into words at the time, but she was having lots of panic attacks. And the moment she began practicing yoga nidra meditation, she said to me, it felt like an anti-anxiety pill for her. It was sort of like, you know, eventually it replaced her anti-anxiety medication that she was taking. And I'm not advocating that for everyone. Everybody's different where they are in their lives. But for her, she began to reconnect to her body, and just the act in yoga nidra, in the beginning, we do body sensing, where we go to different parts of the body and we invite you to feel, you know, everything from your big toe to your foot, to your knee, to your thigh, your hip. You start to rotate attention through the body and blockages dissolve that were there. It's almost like acupuncture, the way you would practice acupuncture. There's no needles here, but we are literally touching parts of the body and energy is releasing from them so that you can flow. The life force flows through your body even better. And so for her, she began to, at first, that can be very hard with someone who doesn't have confidence in their body or is angry at their body letting them down. But for her, it was so gentle and loving. And she reestablished her connection, and her flow began, her life force began to flow again, and she, you know, her panic attacks resolved. She said, similar to me, actually, and I didn't share this, you know, yet with you, but I had a family legacy of panic. My father had had panic attacks. We suspect my grandmother, too, although they didn't really call it that back then. You know, that was what I thought I was just going to have because, well, you know, it was in my family legacy, my DNA, so to speak. And there's no truth to that, really. You know, that's just a story that we learn to believe. And with her, she also fell into that story. Okay, well, I'm going to just have that, you know, I'm going to have that story. And she learned with yoga nidra that actually you can change your story. You don't have to be stuck in family legacies that, you know, are not serving you.
That's pretty inspirational to experience, to see how such a simple yet profound process can be so transformational for people. You know, in all honesty, I'm familiar with all aspects of yoga, except I haven't heard of yoga nidra before. Not really, not that I can remember. So it's so interesting you're sharing your experience and your work with it, because it seems like it's a really important practice that we should all be doing at this point in time.
I think so. And, you know, what inspired me to start sharing yoga nidra as well, to really I had been offering a few 40-day experiences for women with yoga nidra meditation, but I was still running another business. I wasn't really sure. I was still doing a lot of writing. I wasn't sure I was going to go, you know, full throttle into yoga nidra meditation and sharing it on a big level. But then my husband actually, he got very sick. He was actually returned from a trip to Africa because his work took him there. We were living in the United States, but he came back from a trip to Africa, and it turned out that he had malaria. We didn't know that, and that's why he ended up in the hospital for a while. Now, in the hospital, he was very sick. He would shake with with malaria. When your fever goes very high, you're convulsing. You know, it's quite frightening. And then in the periods where he's not, you know, with high fever, you're exhausted. You're just exhausted, and really almost couldn't keep his eyes open. So I had been listening to yoga nidra meditation to keep me feeling okay while I was literally sleeping by his bedside for about 12 days total. But it had been about, I don't know, 10 days in. And then I thought, I think, why aren't I offering him yoga nidra? He was never into, he would take yoga nidra. He liked yoga nidra meditation sometimes at work. He would take a break at lunch. And then he would sometimes do a 20-minute yoga nidra meditation. He said it did help him feel more refreshed in the afternoon. But my husband wasn't a meditation person or a yoga person or anything like that. But in the hospital, there he was, exhausted. I put some earbuds in his ears, gave him yoga nidra, and all of a sudden he was absolutely transformed in terms of his energy and everything. It was such a miracle that he was sharing a room with another person, and that person's wife, she said to me, "What did you do? Like, how could he be so perky and he was so out of it the last few days? How could he be so perky?" And I said, "It's this yoga nidra meditation." So we then gave it to her husband, who I put it on her phone, and we gave it to her husband, who had been having all this bronchial stuff, just coughing continually, and he was in hospital because of that. And she gave it to him, and he calmed straight down. To all the medication he'd been taking, he couldn't leave the hospital. Yoga nidra meditation, within 24 hours, the nurse said, "We're going to let him go because everything's calmed down. He's completely, his whole system relaxed," and she could not believe it. And I walked out of there. The nurses were asking, "What is this?" Their nurses are exhausted. They do shift work. It's very hard on the body. And they wanted that. I was putting it on their phones, and that made my decision. I said, "That's it. I'm going to offer yoga nidra full throttle. You know, I got this. Everyone needs this. This is too good."
It sounds
hide.
I mean, you're right. It sounds like everyone does need this because it's so simple, and yet it's really working with some profound energies for healing. You know, the fact that it's so simple, you know, it's a passive experience, and you don't have to get out there and do yoga asanas or run or any type of exercise that often puts us into a more relaxed state. This is just a really receptive place to be.
Yeah, and it's great for people with chronic illness and, you know, autoimmune diseases, ones where you really just have no energy to keep going to more people or classes or all of that stuff.
So tell us about the 40-day program that you've put together.
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, this nap quest for moms that I started, you know, I knew there was something about 40 days, and it was interesting because I practiced for 40 days, but and I thought I was going a year, but I went 40 days, and I didn't realize how significant 40 days is, you know. I mean, well, first of all, it's in the Bible, 40 days, 40 nights, all of this kind of 40-day, these stories of 40 days. But I really base the program on the idea of, you know, when a woman has a baby, in many cultures, in Latin American cultures, in China, in Asian cultures, they are really required, or they are highly encouraged to take 40 days to rest and recover from the birth. And if you think about it, we give birth to many things in our lives, projects, books, whatever it is. When we put out a lot of energy, we need to give back. We need to receive. It's like a yin and a yang. You put the energy out, then you have to put the energy back in the bank. And so I wrote this as a 40-day program so that people could at any time in their life, if they're going through grief, if they're going through a death in the family or a divorce or whatever it is, just change of season, they can do this 40 days of yoga nidra meditation where they are literally, if you know yoga, then you may have heard of the koshas. There are these five koshas. Yoga looks at the body in not just as one body, but five bodies, the physical body, the energy body, the mental body, the wisdom body, and the bliss body. So in my 40-day journey that I take people on, I take you on a cleaning of these five bodies. And in yoga nidra meditation, when you lie down, that is the guided meditation that you move through, these five bodies, first sensing your physical body, then breath work to activate the energy body and cleanse the energy body. And then we address the mental body. Then we address the wisdom body and the bliss body, all while you're laying down in yoga nidra. So you don't have to do anything other than practice yoga nidra, but the way I've structured the book, I take you through these bodies to clean them up, so you're cleaning your whole nervous system and you ultimately are being pointed back to your best self. You are connected to your soul, and that begins really to break the cycle of fatigue. And the way I've structured the book is in three phases, because I see fatigue as exhaustion in three ways. You have physical exhaustion, you have emotional exhaustion, and you have life purpose exhaustion. And so the book is structured, first 15 days are about rest. Well, the whole book is about rest, but we're really focused on resting the body and relieving some of the physical exhaustion. And then we move into release phase, which is the emotional exhaustion. What do you need to let go of? Because that can be really exhausting, holding on to anger, other emotions, thoughts, beliefs that are holding you back. And then that's another 15 days. And the last 10 days really focuses on life purpose exhaustion, how to rest, and then from there rise up and dream big in your life so that, you are really fulfilling your mission of why you're here on earth. Because when we're not, we feel it. We feel more sluggish. It doesn't mean that your job has to be that. It could mean that you volunteer at an animal shelter because your passion is for animals. But, your job may be something else. It may not be with animals. But, or maybe it's hiking and you have, you're going out and doing things in that way and helping communities somehow like that. Whatever it is, everybody's different. Everybody's different. I've always been shocked, delighted, and just curious when I work with women to see where they want to, where they're led to in terms of rising up in their lives. So the whole book is really, it's about rest, but it's also about how to rise from a well-rested place. So how to operate in the world, in your well-rested woman body, not the worn-out woman.
I would say in all the wise spiritual traditions, they talk about how you really access power and you access healing, and it's not from the doing place, it's from the being place. And this is what yoga nidra sounds like to me. What you're doing is guiding people back into their beingness, where the healing and the answers and the wisdom lies. And it's just, just being receptive and allowing it to emerge. It's not like you have to actively be doing anything to get that.
Yeah, I try to really point that out to people, that yoga nidra, you don't make it happen, you just let it happen.
Mm.
And it is something that is really like a pointer back to your soul. And your soul actually wants the being and it wants the becoming. You know, it's both. That's why, you know, it's about, the book is about rest and it's about rising, because it wants both. It doesn't want us just to lay down and rest for the, you know, it wants us to fulfill both.
So, you know, in some of the talking points you have, you talk about yoga nidra helping to support women in leadership, you know, having leadership roles or leadership positions. How does that fit in?
Well, I see yoga nidra meditation as an empowerment tool. So I see it very much, you know, giving women information that informs their leadership. Because when you're lying down with yoga nidra meditation, and I talk about this in the book, you hear these soul whispers. In fact, throughout the 40 days, I invite women to track their soul whispers, because that informs the actions that we take. And for a leader, when you're feeling peace within, you emanate peace out. And that's the best kind of leadership. That's a balanced feminine masculine leadership. We need the warrior, and we need, you know, the opposite of that too, right? We need it all. But if we're just all warrior, well, that's, to me, those aren't the most effective leaders. That's not the kind of paradigm that I feel we need in the world. And I think yoga nidra meditation gives people, it takes them out of their heads, so that they'll be in their heads enough in the outer world. But when you're in yoga nidra, you're in your inner world. So that when you come up and you wake up from yoga nidra, you can take some of that wisdom that you've learned, the soul whispers that you've heard, and you can let that inform your outer world. And I think it's huge for leaders. Well, that's many people who are these creative geniuses were nap takers, and they were deep nap takers. They took regular naps, and napping in and of itself, because sleep is fantastic. I mean, you know, sleep does help us to completely reboot and be the best, be, you know, really great leaders as well.
So can you explain, in your book, you give some of these exercises. How would someone use the exercises, the yoga nidra exercises in your book, to help them do the nidra, yoga nidra exercises, if you really need to have it kind of guided, you know, you should be guided through, I gather. What would you suggest?
Well, the exercises are all optional. So when I talk about these five bodies, that we are cleaning the five bodies, that's really what the 40-day journey is about, so that all your, it's like cleaning your nervous system. And, you know, there are exercises that can support that cleaning of each body, and really everything from journaling to some breath, extra breath work. But people only have, you know, in terms of what the program is, the core of the program is lie down, practice yoga nidra. And for the first 15 days, it's 15 minutes a day. For the next 15 days, it's 30 minutes a day. And for the final 10 days, it's a 40-minute practice. The meditations are at the back of the book, but also on page 27 of the book, when you purchase the book, it is there's a URL link to go and download 3 free meditations. So the meditations that are in the back of the book, I've recorded them, and people can access. So you're actually buying the book and 3 meditations. So you don't have to record them yourself or go find yoga nidra meditations. They've been recorded for you, or you could use other ones if you prefer someone else's voice. You know, you don't have to use mine. And certain people who have practiced yoga nidra for a long time may have their own voice they like or meditations they like to use. But for the 40 days, that's all that you have to do. The exercises in each chapter are just additional, because when you practice Yoga Nidra, things like journaling are really, really useful, because you begin to get more deeply connected to these soul whispers that I'm mentioning. You begin to really find your intention in life, your what we call a sankalpa, which is your deep vow that you want to make to yourself. And you can explore all of that a little deeper in the book. So each chapter gives you options for doing that. If you enjoy movement, there's also the option to do movement instead to some of these. Or if you like to draw, you know, you're an artist, there's options to draw. So, you know, just we're multisensory, and I really recognize that, you know, while the rest is great, there's other ways to go deeper and access deep healing. And some of these modalities are just offered in the book.
Well, that sounds great. So if someone wants to learn more, I suggest they visit Karen's website, which is Daring to Rest. Same name as the book, daringtorest.com. And I think it's great that you've included a URL so people can actually access the guided meditations and, you know, allow them to go into the experiences as you describe in the book. And I think just from what you've shared with us, I'm sure you've inspired so many people, because it sounds like such a simple way to have great results in one's life and to really connect with oneself and access the healing. I love what you're doing, Karen. I'm excited. I'm going to go do it myself, actually. I think it's a great thing to give oneself, right?
Yeah, you know, it's that permission slip to rest. And, you know, especially just that it's written as a 40-day program, just give it 40 days. Give yourself permission to rest for 40 days. See what happens. See what happens.
That's it. See what happens. You know, if you don't do something different, you'll always get the same thing. So
that's
this
right.
is a chance to, you know, do something different and see what happens. And
yeah.
I mean, we know that healing takes place on a deep, deep soul level, real true healing. And so being able to find a path to get you into that soul place is really where amazing transformation, changes, healings, awarenesses happen. This makes perfect
Absolutely.
Sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And when people who purchase the book before January, they can go to my website, daringtorest.com/new book, and they can put in their receipt number, and then they'll be invited to join me for 40 days for free, like as a thank you bonus for buying the book. That for 40 days I'm going to be guiding people on a journey through Facebook Live and other ways that we'll connect for the 40 days and supporting people through it. So if you buy the book, you can go through it with me in January.
And it sounds like a great way to kick off the new year.
Exactly. Absolutely. I mean, that's why we're starting in January, to
yeah.
really invite people to, you know, there's New Year's resolutions, and then there's the Yoga Nidra way. And, you know, it's really deep from your soul.
Well, it sounds wonderful. So I encourage everyone to visit Karen Brody's website, daringtorest.com. Pick up a copy of Daring to Rest. Make that challenge to yourself. Do 40 days of Yoga Nidra. See what happens. See what possibilities emerge when you give yourself time to rest, to deeply rest and heal. So, Karen, thank you so much for the wonderful work you're doing, sharing your journey on your way to reclaiming your Yoga Nidra powers. You know, I think it's been very inspirational, and I really thank you so much for being on the show today and sharing your wonderful story and the path that you are on. I know that it's going to have great impact on so many people's lives. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Love being here.
And thank you all for joining me for another experience on What Women Must Know. This is all about empowering you with strategies and knowledge and wisdom, as you have heard today. It's just a sample of the kind of experiences and conversations we have. So I hope you'll be returning over and over again each week. Or, like I said, just go to What Women Must Know, either my Facebook page or my website, and you'll be able to listen to every one of these fantastic shows with inspirational people. So until next time, remember to always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.